straight ahead, growing concern of political violence after that ambush on an ICE office in Dallas. Congress now considering millions more for their own security. Representative Keith Self on the debate in D.C. with a possible shutdown looming. An unusual scene at Dallas City Hall. Did a council committee cross the line and violate the Open Meetings Act? Councilwoman Paula Blackmon wants prosecutors to investigate. Plus, is Senator Ted Cruz now the face of Republican resistance? Two high-profile moves lately have people asking that question. And we are weeks away from the execution of Robert Roberson, but where are all the state lawmakers who last year demanded a new trial? State Rep. Retta Bowers tells us why this year is a little different.
Inside Texas Politics with Jason Whiteley starts now.
Thanks for joining us. A lot to get to here, but let's begin with the political headlines happening across the state. Conservatives can now cross off another political priority from their legislative list. Governor Abbott just signed the bathroom bill into law. Republicans in Austin had tried for years to pass it without success. This one, of course, aimed at transgender Texans. Beginning in December, when they are in government buildings or public schools, they have to use the restroom of the sex they were assigned at birth. The headline of the week goes to the Texas Tribune. While praising Charlie Kirk's commitment to free speech, Texas leaders are moving to punish students that mocked his murder. Governor Abbott called for a Texas State student to be expelled for doing just that, but legal experts say that college student likely protected by the First Amendment. Here's the irony. 6 years ago, Texas Republicans worried that conservative voices were getting silenced on campuses, so they passed a law preventing universities from banning free speech. And a new state law has forced Dallas and other cities across the state to end sister city agreements with places in Russia and China. State law says Texas cities have to sever all ties with sister cities in China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia. It has to be done by this coming Wednesday, October the 1st. Dallas already suspended its relationship with its Russian sister city after the invasion of Ukraine. But Dallas City Council has now voted to sever ties with a sister city in China now as well. Let's start this morning, though, with rising concern over political violence just days after that sniper ambushed an ICE van with detainees in Dallas. 71% of voters across the country say they now think politically motivated violence in the U.S. is a very serious problem. And that has increased substantially since Quinnipiac University asked that same question just at the end of June. Congress is debating whether to spend millions more on their own security with this increase in violence. And our first guest, U.S. Rep. Keith Self from North Texas. We began with the sticking point that separates Republicans and Democrats on whether to keep the federal government open next week. Congressman, welcome back.
Thank you.
This spending bill only funds the government until November the 21st.
That's right.
People seeing all the politics around it likely wonder, why in the world doesn't this go longer for as much as you guys go through?
Well, I advocated for a year-long CR, but that was not the leadership's decision. And frankly, November the 21st, in my mind, is the worst date.
Why so?
Because open enrollment for Obamacare opens on 1 November. People will have gotten their premium increases in October. Mm-hmm. So on November the 21st, they're going to be looking at, do we extend the COVID-era temporary subsidies for Obamacare, or do we not? That's $40 billion a year in cost to the government. We need, and no Republican has ever voted for an Obamacare subsidy.
Yeah, for people who don't understand that, the idea was, let's give insurance companies a chunk of change to lower the premiums.
Correct.
And Democrats, supported that for Obamacare. Republicans
Correct.
Say, we need to stop cutting these checks, right?
Absolutely. And we need to, because COVID is long gone. COVID is over, in case people are wondering about it. The emergency is, why would any Republican ever vote for these subsidies?
So the House passed this clean bill, which means mm-hmm. there's nothing else inside of it except spending only. The Senate Democrats, which Republicans need several Senate Democrats to vote for this
right.
in order to get this passed, they say, listen, we want to make sure that people continue to have lower premiums. Do you see any scenario at all in which you could support extending the Obamacare?
None whatsoever.
None at all.
We now know that I will use a strong word here. We now know that there's a lot of fraud in these COVID-era subsidies. No claims. People don't even know they're on the account yet. The federal government is still paying the insurance companies.
But this predates that, doesn't it? Doesn't the Obamacare subsidies, they predates what happened in COVID?
Well, these are additional COVID-era subsidies, temporary, meant to be temporary. That's why they're expiring at the end of the year. So this is not Obamacare generally. These are very specifically the COVID-era temporary subsidies we're talking about.
We all know what happened with Charlie Kirk. We know what happened with the lawmakers in Minnesota. There are some spouses we've been reading of lawmakers in D.C. who say, listen, the security isn't enough for members of Congress.
Right.
What do you think about that? And who should pay for that?
Well, that's one of the anomalies that's in the continuing resolution. There's $88 million there, 30 for Congress, 28 and 30 for the legislative, for the executive branch and the Supreme Court. So 88 million total. And there are people in the House that are pushing for far more than that. I believe that we need to take prudent measures, but I'm not for spending millions and millions of dollars to try to protect each one of us like the president's protected. It simply is cost prohibitive. So that discussion is continuing and it will continue. Right now we have $88 million for every branch of government added security.
But do you think that lawmakers need added security after what we saw with Governor Shapiro in Pennsylvania, his home firebombed, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, what happened with the assassinations of the lawmakers in Minnesota? You guys are in the line of fire.
Well, we have a trial program that they're going to extend that does give us more security.
Yeah.
And we have some discretion over how we spend it. So yes, they are beefing up security for House members.
Congressman, good to see you. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Jason.
This week's episode of Y'all-A-Tick spends a lot more time on these issues with another Republican member of Congress. Congressman Craig Goldman joined us for a plate of barbecue and a beer and a side of politics. This episode of Y'all-A-Tick available right now wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's bring in the roundtable right now to talk about the politics of all of this, the political violence and the looming government shutdown. Bud Kennedy is here from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Natalie Haddad's political reporter at WFAA in Dallas. And Renzo Downey with us from Austin at the Texas Tribune. Bud, let's start with you. I was a little disappointed after what we saw with this sniper ambush in Dallas. There were people saying this has to stop. But we've heard, that's like thoughts and prayers after a mass shooting. We've heard that. What's it going to take to end this political violence?
Well, and by the way, there weren't as many thoughts and prayers now that we have people from other countries who are victims. There weren't as many thoughts and prayers expressed. There were a few. We had just seen these Charlie Kirk rallies, these great Christian memorial events with a great deal of faith, religion expressed. But at the same time, one in Fort Worth, you had Republican office holders who got up and said that Democrats are Satanists, that Republicans are at war, that Democrats are evil. The rhetoric continues, and the rhetoric is on both sides. But the Republicans have been throwing these kind of bombs across the bow ever since they called Democrats baby killers. It's just gotten worse.
And Natalie, there is no end in sight for this as far as I can see.
No, I think, when we were on the scene of the attack on the Dallas ICE facility, immediately as we were posting social media, giving people updates, the comments started flooding in with the rhetoric that you were talking about and Bud Kennedy was just talking about. It's going to take a lot more than politicians like Senator Ted Cruz, who arrived that day at the scene saying stop. In fact, I think politicians like Mr. Ted Cruz could take a page out of their own playbook in toning down this rhetoric and taking a temperature check.
Renzo?
Yeah, well, it's really easy to say we need to bring down the temperature, and I think what you're seeing is, with how polarized we are, you look at the other side and you think that the other side needs to step it down as well.
Yeah.
And it's hard to de-escalate if you think the other side is not.
Yeah, both sides think the other side needs to stop it down, and that just hasn't happened yet. Guys, a lot more ahead here, including this.
When we come back here, did a Dallas City Council committee cross the line and violate the Open Meetings Act? Councilwoman Paula Blackmon on her ask to prosecutors. And will lawmakers step in again to stop next month's execution of Robert Roberson? State Rep. Retta Bowers on why that bipartisan group has suddenly become so quiet. up next on Inside Texas Politics.
Welcome back to Inside Texas Politics. This video here shows an unusual moment at Dallas City Hall. Council members Adam Basildua and Paula Blackman walking in on a private meeting of the Housing Committee discussing homelessness with an outside group. Enough council members were present there in that private meeting to create a quorum. Now, the problem is, Blackman says, not all the council knew about the meeting and neither did the public. Blackman says that's a clear violation of the Texas Open Meetings Act. She is here on how it unfolded and whether the district attorney is going to investigate like she requested.
Let's lay the foundation for people who might not know about this. So the Bridge Homeless Shelter is just south of the skyline,
correct,
just behind the Dallas City Hall, essentially, mm-hmm, next to Farmers Market. And there has been talk for a while about moving it somewhere else so the city can redevelop that area. So you find out this meeting is going on, mm-hmm, with members of the City Council Housing Committee and some other outside.
We didn't know who else was in the meeting, to be quite honest. We knew it was staff,
right,
and we knew it was those four.
And not everyone on the committee had been notified.
Correct.
That this was
happening. Correct. It wasn't properly noticed. That's key terminology
for the
public
for the
Open Meetings Act, for properly noticed for everybody to come participate in this.
You get word of this, you guys walk in, open the door,
yeah,
and walk in.
We knock first.
Okay. You knocked first.
We knocked.
You snapped this photo. There's video of it.
Correct.
What was the reaction?
The reaction was, there's not a quorum here. And Adam explained, well, you're the chair.
Councilman Basildua.
Yeah. You're the chair, that's the vice chair, and here are two other committee members. And she goes, Zarin's not on it. And somebody said, yeah, he is. And then that's when the tone changed, because it was like, yeah, there's a possibility this could be a quorum. And she goes, well, then I'll just step out.
Talking about Kara Mendelson.
Yes, and that's all on the video.
Chair of the committee.
Yes. And, you know, and there's always been discussions of taking, right, the homeless services out of downtown. And everybody comes back to, it needs to be close to hospitals, jails, providers. So I'm not saying that this conversation about how we give services shouldn't be had, but it shouldn't be had in the way it was being had.
Is there any chance this was an innocent slip up, that several people got together for a meeting and then it just turned into bigger deal than it was?
I mean, Jason, it could be. But I've been told since I've been at City Hall, you've always got to be counting. Whether it's 8 to get something through, 9 of a quorum of a council, know your committees and know how many people are on it and know who make a quorum. I've been told that since 2007. And so to say it's an innocent slip up, okay, then, you know, then maybe they should learn to count.
You still, though, you reached out to the district attorney's office.
I did.
Because you think there's a violation of the Open Meetings Act, the state law. What did the DA say? Have you heard back yet?
The DA said that he needs an investigatory group, so he was going to reach out to our IG. I did call our ethics chair and the IG. The IG said it's really not under my jurisdiction.
This is the city inspector general.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And so it's not under my jurisdiction. And so I just said, well, whose is it? And he said, well, I'll try the city attorney. I went to the city attorney. They said it could possibly be, but it's not under ours either to investigate. So I went to the DA, and the DA has said it's not, he doesn't investigate, he prosecutes, so he is going to look for somebody, either go back to our IG or another enforcement agency to look into it. If it's an innocent mishap, so be it. But what needs to happen is people need to realize that we have laws in place and we need to follow them. It's basic respect for our public to understand what we're discussing and to have an opportunity to participate in that. And that's all we're asking.
Councilwoman, thank you for the time.
Thank you for having me, Jason.
Robert Roberson is set to be executed in 3 weeks, potentially the first person in the nation to be executed over a shaken baby conviction. You might remember last year this time, a bipartisan group of Texas lawmakers very publicly stepped in to stop the state from killing him and urged a new trial. But with a new execution date now set just for a few weeks from now, that group of lawmakers has suddenly become quiet. Several of them turned down our request for an interview or just did not respond at all. But State Rep. Retta Bowers, a Dallas Democrat, did take our call about why she thinks the situation is different now. Representative Bowers, welcome back to the program here. Last year, this time, we watched lawmakers at the state pull every lever possible in order to stop the execution of Robert Roberson. This year, now that it's rescheduled for just 3 weeks from now, we just haven't seen the same action. What's going on?
You know, there's been so much going on. I want to first say thank you for having me. But there's so much going on, and to hear about him being set for execution was a bit of a jolt, being that no jury has ever heard all the evidence in Robert's case.
Why do you think, though, we haven't seen that bipartisan group of lawmakers raising every flag, sounding every alarm like they did this time last year?
You know, a lot of us, we just got home. You know, we just ended that second special session and we just got home. We've all hit the ground running, Jason. We've been certainly in district connecting with our constituents and making sure that we're doing the work back here at home.
Has anything changed in the Robert Roberson case that would cause lawmakers to back off a little bit?
That remains, I think things are different.
What's different?
Well, we just don't have, we don't have all the opportunities that we had last go round and in the last interim. You know, we left there and it was a pretty hard end to a rough year we've had. And so pulling us all back together, that remains to be seen. I have not heard that is what the plan is. I do know that my colleagues are working, trying to work toward maybe getting him, you know, some reprieve and maybe getting his case heard again. But it's all happening behind the scenes because, as I said, our hands are kind of tied. It's in the courts now.
And with 3 weeks left before the execution, do you think? I mean, the time's running out, I would think. We're getting close, aren't we?
We are getting close. I just have to believe that nothing's impossible.
Representative Bowers, we always appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
The roundtable is ready when we come back here on Inside Texas Politics. All right, time now for Reporters Roundtable to put the headlines in perspective. Bud, Natalie, Renzo, all back with us here. And Renzo, let's start with you. The Texas Democratic Party, the headlines over the past few days, it's splitting up its headquarters across the state. Some responsibilities in Austin, some in Houston, some in Dallas. The strategy sounds like it's a pretty good one here. What's the point?
Yeah, so the Texas Democratic Party is trying to spread out its operations across the state, trying to get to people in the panhandle, trying to get to people in South Texas. But in spreading out the state, they're closing the Austin headquarters and they're asking some of those top staff to move to Dallas. And it sounds like the top staff are not going to be coming along. And so there's some concerns that, you know, the state party is losing its top staff right as we're heading into 2026. And Democrats are hoping to make a big push in 2026 with Donald Trump at the White House.
And Ashley, I mean, Kendall Scudder, the new chairman of the Texas Democratic Party, he's really hitting the reset button on this.
Yeah, I think there's pros and cons to everything, right? If you're going to close headquarters down and try to widen your footprint, like Renzo was alluding to with what they're doing here, you got to think about how this is coming before a major election. Are you going to be organized in time? We certainly hope so.
Yeah, and Bud, let's zoom out just for a moment, too. Andrew White right now is the only serious candidate the Democrats have running for the top of the ticket for governor.
Well, Andrew says he's running and he's still bitter about Kerrville. His son was almost lost in the flooding, and so he's going to make that an issue. You know, he is somebody to fill in a blank on the ticket. He's obviously going to be just a name down the line. The Senate race is at the top of the ticket. That'll be the Democrats' standard bearer. What they're doing with the headquarters, you know, they've got all the votes they could possibly get in Austin. They're trying to get a few more out of Houston and DFW. It just makes sense.
Yeah, as Renzo mentioned also, they're opening satellite offices in Eagle Pass and Amarillo as well, too, trying to get back into those places in rural Texas. But let me stick with you for a moment because you and I discussed this the other day. Ted Cruz making a couple of recent moves and some people wondering out loud, Republicans and Democrats, is Ted Cruz the new face of Republican resistance?
Well, you know, Ted Cruz speaks up when the president appeared to put pressure on ABC or on the FCC to to get rid of Jimmy Kimmel and just said they ought to get rid of him. He's got terrible ratings or whatever. You know, Ted Cruz said, look, I don't like Jimmy Kimmel, but we do have freedom of speech. People need to be able to speak freely on the airwaves, or this will work out badly for conservatives. He was the one who bucked the president on that, just like he's bucked the president and endorsed Chip Roy for attorney general in Texas, who has been crossways with the president on some things. You know, Ted Cruz is a Christian constitutionalist. He's from that faction of the party. He's standing on that ground, even as the populist faction of the party is in complete control. History will be good to Ted Cruz.
Well, you know, he's never, Natalie, been afraid to buck the system, but is he running? Is he positioning himself to run for something?
I don't know that that is off the table, right? I'm sure he is certainly thinking about what comes next after this election, that albeit that he won it by a landslide. Always good to certainly think ahead. I do think it would take a little bit more than this situation at least for me personally, to see him as the face of the resistance, the Republican resistance, but certainly always a possibility. And it does come as a surprise, the Chip Roy endorsement and these, as Bud Kennedy put it, bucking against Trump.
Yeah, what do you make of this, Renzo?
You know, well, I'd also point out that Ted Cruz is not the only Republican who's speaking out. You have Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell in Kentucky who've both spoken out, and there are others as well.
Yeah.
And so I think what you're seeing is, a segment of the party, as Bud was saying, that is more of the legal background, constitutionally minded side of the party that is trying to speak out here.
Yeah. It's interesting to see, and I know this is going to continue, especially as we head towards the midterms. Guys, thanks so much. We appreciate the insight and input as always. Thank you for watching as well. We're back next Sunday to take you inside Texas politics, and we hope to see you then. Take care.